Hi, everybody. Nina Gilbert here, your music director, on the day after Christmas, sharing one of my favorite pieces of music. This piece has nothing to do with Christmas. If you still need more Christmas carols, listen to the other audio file attached to this email. I've loved this sonata since I learned it in a piano ensemble class many years ago. And this week, I learned how to make a split-screen video so I can overdub myself. It is kind of silly, but I decided it would be a lot more interesting to watch a two-piano performance instead of just listening to it. My love for the music of Mozart has deepened in the past several years. What's so great about Mozart? His music manages to be both playful and gorgeous, pivoting from serious to perky, and creating its own universe, its own physics, as it were, from clear and simple materials. There are moments in the two-piano sonata where two parts seem to have a tug of war with each other, pulling chords and beats back and forth. And sometimes Mozart just runs a basic major scale. Or an arpeggio, that's this, what we call a broken chord because it takes these notes and separates them and uses them in a way that transcends their basicness. Mozart epitomizes both the balance of the classical period and the lyrical tension and release of Baroque and Romantic melodies. One way of understanding any sonata is to think of the first movement as a rhetorical debate between two themes. Typically, the opening theme is kind of fanfare-like. This one goes bum, bum, ba-da-da-da-dum, ba-da-dum. There's also Mozart's famous Eine kleine Nachtmusik, bum, 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 or say Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, ba 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 bum, all fanfare-like. Then the second theme is more lyrical. Da-da-da-da-dum-bum-bum-ba-da-dum-ba-dum, more lyrical and in a contrasting key. After tracking versions of both themes through various transitions, we return to a statement of the fanfare theme in its original key, followed by the lyrical theme, now also in the same key, as if the argument has been resolved. That's all the music theory that I'll put in this message, I promise. Mozart excels at musical characterization. He felt that different keys had different personalities, though in the case of D major, he seems to agree with lots of other composers to consider it a particularly happy and bright key. But he also uses musical techniques to define the characters in his operas. Even when he was 12, writing his first one-act opera, there's a scene where the lovelorn shepherd Bastien is given a supposedly magical potion, and the music staggers and lurches to show us that magical ingredient was actually alcohol. Mozart wrote this sonata in Vienna in 1781 when he was 25 for a performance with his 23-year-old student Josefa Auenhammer. Auenhammer continued her career as a pianist and composer, as well as editing some of Mozart's publications. Remember the Mozart Makes You Smarter studies, the so-called Mozart effect? I heard about this long before I learned that those scientists used the very sonata that I had spent hours and hours and hours playing during 1 year of high school. Researchers at UC Irvine played this sonata for university students and then had them try a spatial recognition test. To quote the study, the authors predicted that the musical-spatial causal relationship is due to the cultivation of pattern development by groups of neurons brought about by musical operations. There are also considerations of how listening to repetitive musical patterns might positively affect brain development in toddlers. The world went nuts. The state of Georgia bought classical music CDs for every newborn baby in the state. I think it was a fun story for journalists to riff on, sort of like when people discovered the trace amounts of various nutrients in chocolate and decided that chocolate was a health food. Both an exaggeration at best. The Mozart effect has been seriously debunked several times, and even Francis Rauscher, the original scientist, has said that people have extrapolated way too far on her results. Among other things, the effect she was studying wears off in 15 minutes. She knew that. She was specifically considering short-term results. I've seen this sort of thing casually. Listen to some beautiful, well-organized music and see if it's helped set your mind up for some sort of task, even, say, a crossword puzzle. Recently, I saw a study that said that listening to Mozart helps calm the brains of epileptics. It reduces certain spikes of electrical activity. I thought it was interesting that they used this same magical sonata. Mozart wrote more than 600 pieces. This researcher, Robert Kwan at Dartmouth, also tested Here Comes the Bride and Buddy Holly, among other selections. I don't think it's possible to hear Here Comes the Bride as a purely abstract piece of music. Anyway, Kwan's team found that the first minute and a half of the Mozart II piano sonata worked best, possibly because of the way Mozart keeps surprising us with instant changes throughout the piece. Mozart himself is legendary. That is, there are all sorts of legends about him. They make for engaging cinema. When I taught music history in the late 1980s, some of my students were angry that I didn't treat the 1984 movie Amadeus as historical fact. If you've seen Amadeus, you've heard Mozart's colleague Salieri confess to murdering him. But Salieri was institutionalized with dementia at the time. In his younger days, he and Mozart had been friends, and Salieri even taught music lessons to Mozart's son. Interestingly, we don't know how Mozart died. It was pretty sudden, shortly before his 36th birthday, and included fever and rashes. Reasonable theories include rheumatic fever, which he'd had as a child, kidney failure, trichinosis, possibly from pork, or mercury poisoning. The movie Amadeus also shows Salieri scaring Mozart into writing his own Requiem. Mozart's Requiem does have an interesting origin story, but that's not it. The Requiem was an anonymous commission by Count Walzek, who wanted to say he had written it himself. We do know a lot about what Mozart thought about people and things, however. We can find books collecting his letters. I found this note about his piano student Josefa. "Almost every day after dinner, I am at the Auernhammers. The miss is a monster. Plays delightfully, though. However, she lacks the genuine fine and lilting quality of cantabile. She plucks too much." I'm not sure if this informs our interpretation of the sonata. I hope you enjoy this palate cleanser of Mozart after weeks and weeks of Christmas music. I wish us all a peaceful and healthy New Year, and look forward to seeing you in 2022.